Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching. I'm Rachel Sullivan.
And I'm John Tattersall.
Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast. It's 2022 and we've got a new look to the podcast for this year. Last year, the podcast format focused very much on inspirational conversations with senior leaders in organisations and some of our wider network of coaching colleagues across the globe. This year, we're going to mix things up a little bit and try the podcast in a more bite-sized format. The reason for this is we have had a lot of success with our Building Better Leaders webinar programme, which is in a two-hour format across a host of modules, so it makes up a modular programme that can last several months in that two-hour format. And some of the feedback from that has been that our clients would love more bite-sized information that acts as a refresher to some of this leadership content, and we were thinking that'd be also an awesome introduction to anybody out there that's wanting a useful tool to help them become a better leader.
So the format going forward will be that we will record a half an hour podcast session, which will look at each one of the webinar topics that we actually deliver. And we'll wrap that up each month with an interview with, again, another inspirational leader, as we did last year. So let's start. Today's topic, Leadership 101. We're going to talk about what leadership is and what it isn't. We're going to also talk about leadership versus management and what is non-directive and directive leadership. So when we think about what leadership isn't, Rachel, what sort of things come to mind in terms of your thoughts?
It's an interesting one, this one. I think whenever we think about leadership and you ask somebody what it is, your mind automatically goes to what it isn't, because you remember from personal experiences been in a situation where you've had a bad manager and what they did to like make you not feel good.
Yeah.
And often it's easier to identify with that.
My mind always jumps to people who I didn't particularly think were great leaders, and also I had a bad experience at the hand of their so-called leadership. So they're images of people that I can actually see, and even like some of the words that I've heard, and some of the phrases. So I think that most people would know what it isn't.
But just to recap on what it isn't, leadership isn't telling somebody what to do, first and foremost. It's not giving instruction. It isn't a rank or position of power. Normally when people assert power over us and take away our choices, that's not leadership and it doesn't make us feel very good. And unfortunately, leadership isn't something that automatically happens at a certain level in an organisation or a certain pay grade. There are a lot of people out there with leadership in their title that are demonstrating very few leadership traits. And excitingly, leadership isn't a unique skill that only a few people have. It can be learned. And this is really important. Leadership isn't management.
So if that isn't what it is, what actually is it? Well, I think it is a form of like social influence. It's an ability for you to become the follower, in so much that you're socially orientated to actually deliver on the things that the people are leading with. And you know, that can just really, that can emerge at any level. It doesn't have to be a senior position, as you were saying earlier on, Rachel. And it, and this is really, really good news, is that all this stuff can be learned. I am still certain that there are people that who become really, really influential leaders is that they have something in them that's innate, but it does also mean that people can actually learn it. It's not something that people are just born with. And I think at the end of it, it's all about inspiring your team to achieve that common goal, whatever that is, whatever your reason why is for going to work, whatever you are setting yourself as the thing that you want to achieve. It's about inspiring that team to help achieve those goals.
Yeah, awesome, John. So when we put that into behaviours that we see when we see a good leader, I always think that leadership is about somebody that gives people choices, that they assume people have got a level of autonomy and are choosing to follow them. Like you said, it's about choices. And I think when we see really good leaders, they ask a lot of questions versus telling people what to do. And when you ask questions, you ultimately feel like you've been given a choice. There's an aspect of inspiration on there. Leaders are usually motivated people and are passionate about what they do. And that is emotionally, well, it's infectious. Like you feel pulled along in their wake of authenticity and excitement for a project. So they're some of the behaviours that get me going.
Yeah. I think that the one of the things that leaders recognise is that everybody is different. And on that basis, they ask different people different questions. The sort of questions that they're open to hearing the answer for from that particular individual. And I think that is one of the greatest strengths of a leader. And it is quite opposite from how a manager would actually deal with any given situation.
Yeah, so that moves us nicely on to the second part of Leadership 101, which is, what's the difference between leadership and management? I'm going to do a caveat here in that both leadership and management are really important. And
yeah,
by explaining the differences, we're not in any way wanting to diss the skills of management or managers. But this is a leadership podcast, and becoming a better leader is about understanding when you need to drop some of that managerial behaviour, because managerial behaviour can often be what's holding you back from becoming an inspirational leader. So that is our purpose for explaining the difference. So how about I run through what a leader is, you run through what a manager is, John?
Go for it.
Right, so a leader will pay attention to the environment. They will set the tone, and they will look at what are those environmental factors that are going on that make the team kind of feel safe.
So that's a much bigger picture in terms of how a manager would look at it, who is probably a little bit more narrower focused. So they're tending to plan, they're measuring, they're monitoring. They are trying to solve problems as much as a leader would want to do it, but they're doing it in quite a coordinated way. So it might be hiring and firing. A leader is looking across a much broader picture and paying attention to that environment that you're talking about, Rachel.
Yeah. The second point is that leaders really pay attention to people. They want to focus on making their people feel safe. We love Simon Sinek's work. He talks around the role of the leader is to create the feelings of trust and cooperation, because when people feel safe, the natural outcome of that will be that they will trust each other and cooperate more.
Yeah, and I think that contrasts quite a lot now with how a manager would approach it, because they're probably working to numbers or a certain number of targets. So it might be the P&L, it might be the number of successful client relationships that are onboarded, and it might be about actual employee satisfaction. They are quite target driven. We often use the word OKRs. However, for a leader, it's much more of a feeling. It's much more of a holistic approach.
Yeah, and that holistic approach is very much focused on influencing versus telling, inspiring versus using rules, and helping people by asking questions. The important distinction is that leaders focus on the inputs of the system,
and managers tend to focus on the outputs. Both very, very, very important. However, the emphasis on actually focusing on inputs from a leader's point of view is something that we talk about quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And last but not least, leaders lead people.
And managers tend to manage things. So we've discussed what management is and what management isn't, what leadership is, what leadership isn't. We've done the difference between the two, and we recognise that both of them are very important. We're going to talk about styles now. So this is about how do you show up as a leader? Are you somebody who manages with a lot of authority? Or are you somebody who leads and manages with a lot of autonomy given over to your employees? So in the former, managing and leading in a directive way is very much about telling people what to do. It's about making and announcing decisions. It's about selling the decision in that's already been made. What it differs from, though, in the at the other end of the scale, where you want to give your employees more autonomy, is the more non-directive style. So this is where a leader will employ and allow people to think of their own solutions to a particular situation. They'll garner opinion. They'll gather up ideas across the team. They're not there just to make the decision from their own point of view. They're there to actually be curious. They move away from this certain authoritarian kind of leadership to a much more curious, what does everybody else think about this? Bearing in mind, everybody's different. People will look at the same situation, the same problem that needs to be solved. And many people come up with different viewpoints.
Yeah, I think we use this Tannenberg-Schmidt model around directive versus non-directive leadership quite a lot as a good talking point. And it's really quite a useful exercise to just think, where are you on the continuum of when do you use authority and tell people what to do versus when are you more collaborative in your leadership approach, using a more non-directive approach where you're asking people and collaborating more. Nobody is all of one thing or the other. It's a scale that people tend to slide up and down. The important thing is being honest with yourself about where you are with it and where does your organisation need you to be for the output that you need to create.
Yeah, and it's also what's your preference? What are you more comfortable with? Do you want more autonomy? Do you want less autonomy? And that'll probably differ against the different tasks and the different roles that you perform in the organisation. If you're somebody who's coming in very new to an organisation, then they probably need to be told quite a lot because it's actually all new to them. If you're very experienced, then you're probably that kind of leader that somebody would like to go to and ask their opinion.
Yeah, and it's also important to think about what type of organisation is the organisation that you're working in. Directive leadership became very popular and was the only form of leadership or management used in the early industrial revolution. So it's the kind of leadership we see a lot in manufacturing, where safety standards need to be really high, where the consequence of something going wrong could be an injury or a fatality. Often there's really stringent rules and regulations that need to be adhered to, and that's where directive leadership that takes away people's choices has a place. However, you've got to be honest with yourself, how many of us work in those kind of organisations today? Most people work in organisations like tech companies, advertising agencies, even healthcare to some degree, a section of it, universities, learning, services-based industry, where the quality of the kind of customer engagement and interaction needs to give people a level of autonomy. And in that case, a non-directive leadership style is where we see organisations do better, where there's a more collaborative, input-focused approach to how employees are feeling and engaging with each other. And that's where the directive leadership style seems to fall over.
Yeah, it's not that there's just not one answer. It's the fact that, you're right, Rachel, it's all about if there is a greater risk of something going wrong and there are difficulties in making those decisions, then often having a very directive approach is the approach that you should be using. The approach, I guess, that we want to promote is one of non-directive where people have greater autonomy and people are just generally more curious.
That's the theory part of today's podcast covered for today for Leadership 101. What we're going to move on to now is the coaching approach, where we're wanting you to ask yourself some of these questions, to perhaps discuss them with a colleague, to think about them yourself, or just reflect on them on your drive home. And these questions are really what we may ask you if we were to ever coach you. So they're what we'd call powerful questions or coaching conversation questions to just get you increasing your self-awareness about the kind of leader you are and the kind of leader that you'd like to be.
Yeah, so as we were discussing in the first part, the things that jump into my mind when I think about leaders are people who have influenced me, or who is it that I actually look up to and think, that is the kind of leader that I want to be. So I would say that's the first question to ask. Who, when you think of them, they may be dead or alive, they may be current, they may be back in history, there may be somebody that you bump into on the street and you strike up a friendship with. What is it about that person that you admire in terms of leadership?
Yeah. And then I'd be thinking about the leaders that you've got and that you see operating in your organisation, and be asking yourself and reflecting on what in their behaviour do you see and can label as leadership skills and leadership behavioural traits, versus what are you seeing that's a management trait and a management behaviour. And then perhaps extend that a little bit further by reflecting on how you come across to your people. It might be that you're just that you're an entry level manager, you've only got one or two direct reports, or perhaps you're leading a bigger team. But be honest with yourself, what aspects of your job description and what aspects of your weekly and daily behavior are more in that leadership camp, and where does your mind go very quickly to managing and getting shit done, as we kind of call it, versus looking at that wider system? So that's probably the first and second exercises to think about: those that inspire you and what are you actually doing in your day-to-day role?
Yeah, and I think you could slightly extend that by saying about those people that you really admire, what specific part of their role is it that they're leading with? And what specific part of their role are they more management focused?
Yeah. And then once you've done that, the other thing that we like to think about in a coaching conversation is this idea of directive versus non-directive leadership being a continuum. And a really quite powerful question that we'd ask would be, what would it take for you to move one or two rungs on the ladder towards a more non-directive style? So I'll just say that again. What would it take for you to become a more non-directive leader?
So some of the things that you might think about are, instead of jumping to a solution focus straight away, you might decide to garner somebody else's opinion. What do they actually think? Often people may come to you as a leader and ask you for what they should do next. It's often easier just to tell people what you would do, but ask them, what do they want to do about it?
Yeah. And key to that is when you feel yourself and your mind switching from active listening to thinking of solutions in your own mind while the other person is still talking. If you can label that in the moment, that is directive leadership. If you can stay in a space of curiosity to just listen to that person for a little bit longer and then ask them a question, staying curious, that one action can nudge you one step along to a more non-directive approach.
I also think as well, Rachel, when they've given you their opinion, when you've asked them the question, they've come back with a response, is to ask them, is there anything else? And is there anything else? Not, not, but what about anything else? And is there anything else? Because often people need that amount of time to think, you know, so their initial response is, yeah, great, I like the idea of that. And is there anything else? Just allows that bit of time for people to think and think, actually, yeah, there is, but they may become a little bit more trusting of you and be happy to test out ideas with you rather than be very, very certain that the idea or the solution that they've got to come up with has to fly straight away.
Yeah. So that's hopefully been some good coaching conversations and questions for you to think about. Another final reflection that we'd just like you to think about in terms of your own self-awareness with the kind of leader you are, is to just, with this new knowledge, notice when you move between directive and non-directive and just acknowledge and observe the environment that you're in. From my personal experience, when I'm stressed, when I'm up against a deadline, when I'm hungry or when I'm tired, they are the environmental factors that tend to move me towards a more directive leadership style. I am also very easily swayed when other people are in a directive style. Think about it yourself. When you're in a group conversation with other leaders and lots of people are telling and voicing their opinions on what to do, it is very easy to have that group think and get pulled along and throw in another suggestion versus asking a question. So just observe, what are the environmental factors that pull you towards that side, and when are you able to stay in a more non-directive leadership style? For me, again, everybody's personal on this. It's usually when I've been for a run, when I'm relaxed, when I've got a lot of time. And I know these are things that we don't have control of. But when you understand what pulls you one way or the other, you can start to think about, what do I want to be in this moment? And if you can just ask yourself, what kind of leader and what kind of behaviour and what kind of question would be best to do now, you are already becoming a better leader.
Yeah, so when we're talking about environmental factors, it's like, where are you when this decision is made, when this proposal is put to you? How do you feel? How well did you sleep last night? How well have you eaten? Have you just come out of one meeting and jumped straight into another? Will you do that again? What happened last time you did it? Just imagining yourself in those different situations will allow you to be able to better control those environmental factors, and you will become a better leader based on that on its own.
Yeah. So hopefully you found this useful. If you would like to get in touch with us, please do. Our email address is leaders@scaffoldcoaching.com. We offer a whole host of virtual and face-to-face coaching packages if this is something that you are interested in pursuing as a topic. And if not, we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
See you again. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Building Better Leaders podcast. We hope you've got a lot out of this. If you'd like to read up a bit more on any of the content that you've heard in today's podcast, be sure to check out our website, scaffoldcoaching.com.